This episode of The Tome Show is brought to you by FRP Games, where overstock deals from 20 to 90% off are easy to find. And listeners like you, thanks for using The Tome's Amazon store.
VorpalNetwork.com.
I'm Ryan Macklin from Master Plan. Many have tried to read it. The wisest know to listen to the tome.
Welcome to the Tome, episode 136. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interview show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, I become the best gamer in the world with King of RPGs. This episode includes two parts. First, Victor Cantu from Fistful of Comics and Games, as well as Will Wong, a regular contributor on the show, discuss our thoughts on the American manga called King of RPGs. It's sort of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Of tabletop role-playing games, and it features heavily a pseudo-D&D game. So I thought it was appropriate to talk about here. Second, I talked to the author about his thoughts on the story, the art, and what his goals were in doing it. So I found that to be a very interesting chat that helped me understand the product a lot better. So without much further ado, let's jump right into the review. Okay, and now I am here with Will Wong and Victor Cantu. Will, longtime contributor to the show, and Victor Cantu from Fistful of Comics and Games. And we have a wide variety of different levels of experience with the material of today's review. Myself, I'm a comic book reader and of course, a gamer, as you are aware. I don't read a lot of manga, which is what I would consider this book to be. Will, I know you're heavy into gaming. What's your experience with comics and manga?
A lot more comics than manga. Does this count as manga?
I would guess it does. Victor, what's your take?
I think it's American manga, and because it's an American writer that wrote it.
Right.
And it goes left to right instead of right to left. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more manga than it is traditional comics. But it's not, I guess, true manga because it isn't imported from Japan and doesn't go right to left.
Okay. And Victor, just to get your sort of area of expertise, as I understand it, you're a moderate gamer, but more into the comics and the manga, that kind of stuff. Is that right?
Well, I've been drug kicking and screaming into being a full-time gamer. So, okay. I'm playing in two games a week, and then I read tons of comic books, and I read manga, a fair amount of manga.
So you are the manga comic book expert on the show, and then...
Well, if there is one, yeah.
There's three of us, Victor.
Right.
Given that this is the closest I've ever gotten to reading manga before, I'm going to say that both of you outrank me in that field.
Oh, it's the closest I've ever been to. I've tried, but I can't get over reading them the other way.
Okay.
I tried it once. So I found myself reading the panel, and then I go right back the other way once I finished.
Okay, good. So let's sort of summarize the story without necessarily, I guess, spoiling anything for people. This is basically the story of our main character who, I guess you could say, has an addiction to gaming.
In general, yeah.
It starts off with MMOs in their sort of World of Warcraft sort of clone, their pseudo World of Warcraft game. And then he eventually has to give that up and goes off to college. And when he's in college, he discovers tabletop gaming and gets into their sort of pseudo D&D game. And that plays heavily into the storyline. And then it also branches out into other genres and what have you. At the end, it involves a card game. And it turns out that this addiction to gaming sort of manifests itself as some sort of, I don't know, almost gaming superpower.
And right. A personality disorder at the same time.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too.
So, does that summarize the story in a nutshell of people?
Yes.
Okay.
More or less, yeah. It's not that he had to quit gaming, or he didn't have to quit WoW because he went to college. He had to quit WoW because he went on, like, a two-week bender and was hospitalized and all of this stuff.
Yeah. And it all sort of
builds into this to a story where there's almost rival factions or rival gamers in town who are using the games for various means. It's all very highly dramatic for the gaming world.
Yeah,
the second half.
And I guess we should mention he's also he's mentored through tabletop gaming by this sort of Uber DM. What's his name? Theo?
I could look.
Theo Dudek?
That sounds about right.
And so Fyodor here is sort of his Yoda almost that follows him around and says, oh, well, think about this part of this game, or you know, is trying to constantly bring out this addictive side of him because he thinks it makes him into the ultimate role player.
Except Yoda wasn't lame. you didn't want to smack Yoda that much.
Okay, so let's talk about what we liked and didn't like about the book then, since Will wants to go there.
I think that Theo kid, that's got to be part of the joke, is he's super, super into DMing, and he takes it far more seriously than anyone I've ever even heard of, except for that guy who like got stabbed or whatever that they talk about on, I think, Gamer's Haven.
Okay. So, yeah, and he's the kind of guy, he you know, some Uber DMs will have really elaborate sort of, you know, maps and terrain and what have you, and maybe put in some music and what have you. This guy goes so far as to, in the middle of the union of the school, set up a tent to create environmental effects.
And he had a snake.
Yeah.
And he had a live snake.
I think from my exposure to regular manga, like manga from Japan, it does have this element of, you know, supernaturalism and hyperrealism and that kind of thing, and everything's like over exaggerated and stuff like that. And that this book seemed to fit well into that. The main problem I had with the book is that it kind of skips around but doesn't tell you it's skipping around until it skips around. Does that make sense? I don't know how to explain that more than that.
So you had some trouble following the story because they jumped around in time and stuff?
Well, yeah, like they open it up with him playing the game and everything, playing the MMOs, and then he winds up in college, and they never explain the time jump. They did like a meanwhile, or I didn't catch the meanwhile, or something like that, and then they flip back. And
I'm pretty sure he was in therapy for some of it.
Yeah, but it goes straight from like he went to the hospital, and then he's at college.
Yeah,
that was the break that kind of took me out of it. And later they explain what happened and everything, but they didn't do a meanwhile or 6 months later or.
Yeah, what they didn't really explain was that opening part with the MMOs was really the prologue to the story.
Right.
You know.
Oh wait, here it is.
That was them saying, you know, this is the background that you need to know, and then the real story starts when you get to college. And so,
right.
But they wanted to leave a gap so you could sort of have those flash forwards and reveal exactly what happened to him later.
Right.
All right, guys, I'm looking at it right now, and in the opening where it's showing him go on his crazy bender at the internet cafe, it's got dates. There's February 2000 something, March 2000 something. So you see him go. You see sort of his descent into madness,
mm-hmm.
and then they call the ambulance, and then it goes to University of Escondido at California at Escondido September.
Okay,
so it goes 5 months later.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really have trouble following the story in that way. And you're right. I don't have the experience with manga, but there's some similarities, I get the impression, between the manga and some anime that I've seen.
Yeah, like Kashikan and
so,
School Rumble. And,
right. Well, and he, you know, so I sort of saw some similar themes in terms of, you know, the overdramatic and you know, the supernatural element of how he becomes the Uber gamer and you know, that kind of thing. I could sort of see that and sort of, I guess, understand that. Maybe not the story that I'm most interested in seeing.
Right.
You know, where I was really interested in the story is I was actually enjoying it when they were towards the beginning of the college, when they were actually playing the pseudo D&D game.
Yeah.
And they kept flashing between the real life and the game world.
Right, that was kind of cool.
If the whole book had been that, I think I would have really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I would have liked that more than Theodore going crazy with his snake and everything.
Have you ever read it's an online comic, I forget who does it, Earthworld?
Yes.
And they kind of do the same thing where you know, then they bring the gamer into the game. And I followed that pretty religiously for a while, and I really liked that story. And this felt similar, but didn't seem to pull it off as well as Earthworld did.
Okay. So other than that, any other thoughts? The story is a little bit, you know, if you're into manga and you're into gaming, I think maybe the story could appeal to you. Does that sound fair?
I think so, but God, it just seemed like every cliche that they warn you about gaming, you know, you're going to get addicted and you're going to run into antisocial people. And yeah. And I think that's all part of the joke, because a lot of the, like Gashik and one of the Benton on our podcast, he does watch a lot of the, you know, shoujo relationship slice of life type anime, and Gashikin's all about comic book, you know, the collecting comic books, clubs who collect comic books, and it's all hyper-realism, and, you know, they buy anything that has, you know, X character on it and spend uber amounts of money and all this time and everything, and it's all hyper-realism, and it seems kind of silly sometimes, and that's part of the joke, is that kind of self-parody, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the joke, but I don't know.
Well, if nothing else, I look at the images and the artwork and that kind of stuff, and I find that to be good,
yes.
Consistent, easy to follow. The only thing I would say in terms of the way it's put together in terms of images that kind of turns me off is that our main character wears that jester hat constantly, right, for no good reason that I can tell.
Well, I wish they would have explained it.
I think it's when I gamed with JJ on for a while, we were playing Mutants and Masterminds. And we had this kid who was like 22 or something like that, and he wore a jester's hat all the time, and it even had those bells on it and everything. And I asked him why, and he's like, "So people recognize me when I'm walking down the street." And I was like, "Okay, I guess that's a good enough reason."
It's a reason.
Yeah.
Well, it works. You know, I recognize the character all the time, but it just looks real goofy. And I don't know. You're right. I think there's some stereotypes that they play into that is part of the joke. But I don't always see the wink, you know?
Yeah.
I can't always tell that it's part of a joke. Sometimes it just comes off as, wow, these guys are lame. And they kind of represent gamers, you know?
Right. And I wasn't sure if it was an age thing or if it's just – it's lame and I'm just not picking up the joke. Because sometimes I think it's – sometimes like when I go back and I read a manga and then I go back and talk to Benton about it. And he's like, well, you know, this is why they did it and everything. You don't have that experience, so you wouldn't know about that. So
the problem is that you're old.
Yeah, basically. Or I haven't read every single manga of that genre that's come out.
Sure. Okay. But so in general, we feel like the story has some good parts, but mostly we struggle with it, whether it's because we don't like the portrayal of gamers or we're maybe not the right audience for what the story they're trying to tell.
Maybe that's more it. I think it is kind of aimed at a younger audience, probably. And, you know, people who are up on the lingo and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so maybe too old.
If nothing else, we feel like the artwork is very consistent and good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of this guy's art. I think if he has a different story to tell, I would probably pick it up or at least, you know, get it from the library or something like that.
Yep. And if nothing else, we like the opening scenes of the story where there was the flash back and forth between the game world and the real world.
I don't mean to keep hogging it, but I liked the art all the way through, and I did like the story. I just felt it was kind of like going for the easy joke to me.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mind the, you know, ripping on gamers because some of them are like that.
Uh-huh. Well,
and we've all met them. I mean, there's two or three perfectly normal ones in that first one.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Not counting the girl he's paying to be there.
Right.
That seems like an accurate percentage. You know.
Yeah, and
about half are kind of out there and weird.
And I guess my sort of thought was that I saw that opening sort of scene where they were doing that role playing in the D&D sort of setting, and I kind of thought, oh, well, this is what this is going to be about. I can read this. I can get into this. And then it turned out that that was just what maybe the opening quarter of the book, and then the rest of it was something different.
Right.
And so I was just thrown off as to what kind of story I was going to get, because I enjoyed one part and expected more of it, and then it didn't happen. You know, I thought we were being introduced to a cast of characters.
And then all those people went away.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting for them to come back.
And some of them did. They sort of make cameos here and there and pop back in.
Yeah, when they do the time switch and everything. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like this is a decent manga for a certain audience, which may or may not be us at times.
I think more junior high to freshman level, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Will, any last thoughts?
Yeah, because junior high and freshmen really need help making fun of gamers.
Well, a lot of them are gaming, so I don't know.
I guess. I don't know what I would think the target audience for this is, but I'm completely uninformed about any sort of manga, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will defer to Victor.
Yeah, I'm sure that it won't be, but it'd be interesting to see how they would do it as an anime.
Oh, yeah.
Like a one-shot type anime or mm-hmm. a couple, like a 11 series or something like that. It'd be kind of interesting to see how they would do that. So.
Yeah, well, I'm hesitant to be too hard on the book because I think there is an audience for it. And hopefully by listening to this, people can get an idea of whether or not they might enjoy it and be part of that audience or not. And I know I've talked to the author of the book several times at this point, and our audience here has just listened to an interview with him that I'm going to put in prior to this discussion. And the guy seems a nice fellow, and he's working hard to sort of advocate for gaming and to teach people gaming and to get more people out there playing the game and supporting the hobby. So,
right.
You know, I wish him all the best of luck.
You know, that's a quick thing I wondered about is, you know, it segues from MMO to tabletop. And if that's one of his goals, it's to try to get more MMO players to play paper-based RPGs. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And then it goes into card games. It's becoming progressively more expensive. I'm guessing the next one will be a Warhammer game.
Before we get into the interview with the author, Jason Thompson, I want to take a quick break and look at FRP Games, our sponsor for this episode. They're a great game store that carries a wide variety of products. I personally ordered from them recently, and the order was shipped fast, securely, and arrived ahead of schedule. Plus, they offer some pretty hefty discounts that allowed me to pick up a handful of cool D&D minis for less than the cost of shipping for the whole order. So that was pretty awesome. My pick for this episode is something a bit more unique, however. It's not a D&D book, it's not minis, or even dice. No, it's the really awesome dice box, or at least that's what I think I would use it for. And by box, I really mean treasure chest. Complete with engraved wood and metal trim, great for storing your dice, some of your minis, all kinds of small things you would normally just toss in a bag or a pouch. It comes in medium for $12, but my pick is the large because I like to carry a lot of stuff around with me for games. And that's $16, which is 20% off the normal price. Check it out through the link at thetomeshow.com for the chest or any other great gaming products at FRP Games.
FRP Games is an online retailer specializing in all aspects of your tabletop gaming needs. Whether it's RPGs, dice, war games, or computer games, FRP Games has a wide selection of products. They offer overstock items where you can pick up all kinds of gaming gear ranging from 30% off all the way up to 90% off the retail price. Through our website, you'll be directed to their weekly new products, eBay auctions, or you can even buy your special gaming someone a gift certificate. FRP Games is an authorized Wizards of the Coast retailer and for 10 years has been committed to providing each customer with the highest standard of customer service possible. Visit our website for instant access to FRP Games inventory of thousands of unique gaming items.
And now I am here with Jason Thompson, the writer of King of RPGs. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, man.
So, Mr. Thompson, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and sort of your connection to gaming and writing and manga and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I've worked in the comic industry ever since I got out of college. It was 1996 that I started working for Viz. the biggest manga translator publisher in the U.S., and I worked for them for 10 years. I was an editor and basically worked on the English editions of stuff like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Naruto, Dragon Ball. And since then, I've written a book on manga, Manga the Complete Guide from Random House, who are also publishing King of RPGs. And I do a bunch of other writing and some manga editing. And I draw comics when I get the chance. I both write them and draw them. As for gaming, I've gamed ever since I was 6 years old, which was 1980, when I bought a copy of Redbox D&D, or rather my parents bought me a copy of Redbox D&D, and I think I later ended up playing a game with my babysitter.
Very cool. So you've been around the hobby for a long time. You've been around the manga field specifically for a long time, and the King of RPGs is a product that sort of blends the two. Being an American manga that is focused on gaming.
Yeah. Well, I've been working in the manga industry for a long time, and there's a certain type of story that, that's kind of a familiar genre of Japanese comics, which is the story about someone who's trying to become the best at something and, become like a champion. It's kind of descended from sports stories, Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you have and you have these really weird examples like Yu-Gi-Oh!, which is originally sort of a champion story about Magic the Gathering under a thinly disguised name, mm-hmm. And also on another level, there's stuff like Hikaru no Go, which was a manga about Go, the board game, which became super popular in Japan. And so I've always been into those stories, which are sort of like a. Which are kind of like, a love letter to the hobby, as well as like a very, it's typically somewhat over the top and crazy, exploration of something, whether it's like soccer or cooking or, or something more obvious like martial arts. Mm-hmm. And so I actually thought it would be funny to do something like that for our RPGs. Which, of course, are inherently non-competitive, so it's entertaining. It was entertaining to mesh the two elements. And that's kind of how King of RPGs originally came about in my mind. And then it went through a couple of mutations.
Yeah, and I can definitely see in the story that, I don't have a lot of familiarity with manga, other than, a few of the manga that have been translated into cartoons on Cartoon Network, or uh-huh. Yu-Gi-Oh!, that kind of thing. But as I look through it, I could see sort of reflections of those kinds of stories in there, And how your one of your main characters has a almost supernatural ability to game, to role play.
Yes, but he doesn't actually. Well, whether it is supernatural is a question which I'll leave for the moment. It's not like he's actually got the ability to cheat fate or anything like that. But he has. But what I consider to be the one defining element separates role playing games from board games or CCGs is of course the role playing element because that's just really what really interests me. That's the most thing that interests me the most is the character, the character creation and inhabiting the character and the acting element and from the DM's perspective the sort of setting up and building of the world and the plot. So I decided that one of the two main characters in the comic had to be the ultimate role player which. He had to be completely in character, because that is what defines, that is to me what defines role playing as distinct from, miniatures gaming or something. And of course, it ended up, it's sort of intended as a parody of the sort of scare stories that you'll see in the media about gaming driving people nuts or like causing psychological problems, stuff, stuff that goes back to like those 80s TV movies, like Mazes and Monsters with Tom Hanks that were on when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You first.
I was going to say, speaking of the humorous elements, that you aim for in the story, was that something that was you know, towards the front of your mind as you were deciding on the portrayals of the characters. You know, that's part of the joke, is looking at these two main characters and just how far they take it, just how far they go.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely intended as a humor comic. I mean, it's intended to be over the top. You know, it's intended to be over the top to the point of absurdity. I mean, not to the beyond the point of like physical reality, I think, but it's to the point, you know, of sort of a gradually escalating insanity. So yeah, it was always intended as being funny, but you know, I hope there's a certain earnestness in it as well. You know, that the I mean, it's not that the characters are just sort of like standing aloofly above everything, saying like, "Ha ha, this sucks." You know, like, you know, magic missile, you know, stuff like that. They're truly into what they're into. You know, so are the, you know, other characters and the antagonists and everybody. So they're truly into what they're doing, and they don't understand the absurdity of it all, which I think is for me the which is kind of what I was going for. So I wanted it to be an earnest comedy. You know.
Mm-hmm. So on a related note on the concept of the comedy and the humor, one of the main characters, Shesh,
mm-hmm.
is he ever going to take that dumb hat off?
Well, you know, the hat is there for a reason. But there's a story reason the hat is there. But there's a story reason he wears the hat, which I can't reveal. But actually, originally the hat in my mind was based on two things. It was based on a friend of mine who, you know, I used to game with, who always wore a jester hat. And it also sort of arose out of a visual parody of Yu-Gi-Oh, where the dude has the most ridiculous hair in the world, you know? So I figured like, you know, our story opens and we see like the main character silhouetted in the light, and it looks like he's got this ridiculous hair, but actually it's just a ridiculous hat. So yeah, there's a lot of hat wearing in the comic. But you know, I find that is also a you know, I've seen a lot of strange hats in my time. You know, so I didn't think it was beyond the level of humanity or anything like that.
Sure. Now, a lot of the gaming audience is older and older these days. And a lot of the consumers of manga are younger and younger. So where is the audience for this product, for this story?
Well, I figured when I wrote it that it might basically go out and it would reach some people who are manga readers who weren't familiar with RPGs, and maybe they'd be like, oh, this is interesting. You know, I wonder what. I mean, I only know RPGs through like Warcraft, Final Fantasy, or whatever. But you know, this is a book that's mostly about tabletop RPGs. Because that's, you know, that's what I mostly play, you know, although I've dabbled in everything. So I kind of thought that, you know, that would be its audience, would be, you know, people who are familiar with manga and they're familiar with, you know, those kind of tropes, you know. But it also, I find that it actually, you know, it really... Most of the people, you know, who I'm talking to are getting letters from people who are already familiar with RPGs and you know, because there's a certain amount of in-jokes in the story. You know, there's some fairly deep nerdiness in there. And so I guess it's a combination of those two. I mean, I think it's basically a parody of two things which don't necessarily have a connection. It's sort of like a peanut butter and chocolate, you know, situation, in which you have the RPGs, which are mostly, you know, old school tabletop on the one side and the manga on the other. But I think, you know, when I look at the book and when I look at, you know, what's just like what is floating out there in the world, I think it's a pretty good time for tabletop RPGs in general. There seems to be a lot of more interest in them since 4th edition came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, certainly that's good for 4th edition. I don't know how good it is for other publishers. But there seems to be a lot more interest and awareness of D&D. And, you know, I mean, it's certainly not as, like, dark a period for RPGs as I've, you know, it has been at some points in, like, the 90s or the, you know, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So speaking of 4th edition and D&D, this is a D&D podcast. So,
yes.
So what is the connection between the King of RPGs and D&D?
Well, the connection is, you know, there is, you know, D&D ish, thinly disguised D&D, you know, in the story. I mean, D&D is the primary game played by the foot characters in the story, and in Volume 1 and Volume 2. Although I also throw out nods to other RPGs like Call of Cthulhu and Shadowrun, you know, and a couple of others, Vampire and so on. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm a D&D player. You know, I play both, you know, Third or Pathfinder and Fourth Edition, and I enjoy it. And also, D&D is, you know, the most, you know, although it's not the only RPG, it's the most, you know, recognizable RPG, and you know, it has the most, you know, awareness, and you know, it's kind of like the English language of RPGs, you know. It has maybe like English, or I don't know, Mandarin Chinese. It has like very near universal, you know, awareness. It's like the Esperanto of gaming. Okay. So you know, when doing a story about gaming, it just seemed natural to focus on, you know, on D&D, because, you know, I mean, I've D&D is what got me into gaming. I later, you know, branched off into other games, and there was like a long, I didn't play D&D for like, you know, several years in the 90s. I came back to it with Third Edition, and you know, continued with Force, and you know, I mean, I enjoy where it's going, you know, and it's fun. So the game they play in the comic is, of course, called Mages and Monsters, which I think the name, you know, speaks for itself. This mm-hmm. being is what it's supposed to be. So
sure. In fact, I would say that my favorite part of the story was that opening part where it's them playing D&D for the first time and watching how far Theo, the DM and the other main character of the story, how far he's willing to go to mm-hmm. help the players get into character, and the flashes back and forth between the real world and the campaign world. Later on, when it sort of leaves that, I kept kind of hoping, well, I hope they get back to that. You know, I wanted to see more of those adventures. I almost wanted to follow their campaign, you know, and wanted to see that happen. So you say that we can expect more of that in Volume 2?
Yeah, Volume 2 is mostly it's mostly D&D. It has some World of Warfare, but it's mostly a lengthy D&D game that stretches for about 140 pages. Yeah, so it's got a lot of that. I wanted to put in other elements of fandom in there. I mean, I personally, you know, I enjoy playing tabletop RPGs more than playing, you know, most card games or board games, because that's what I'm into. You know, it's the acting and the world building and, you know, the story element. You know, it's kind of like. I mean, I remember in the 90s when everyone was afraid that like collectible card games would like destroy role playing games, you know. This is like very, very old, you know, stuff. But that's kind of how it felt for a while. But I guess people have always, you know, thought that role playing is going to get destroyed by like one thing or another, you know. And yet they endure, because they're pretty different from anything else out there. So even if, you know, people are spending more money on Yu-Gi-Oh cards or special plans in Farmville, you know, they D&D will always have its place.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that the second volume focuses more than on that element, at least personally. Like I said, that was my favorite part of Volume 1, and when it sort of it departed from that for a good chunk of the book, and that's when it started feeling a little bit more Yu-Gi-Oh to me. You know, that story of trying to become the best of, you know, of gaming in general and that kind of stuff. And I sort of – personally, I've sort of left some of that – my interest in that kind of storytelling behind several mm-hmm. years ago. And so I was always sort of anxious to get back into the other part that did catch my attention. So I'll look forward to Volume 2 where they do – where you do some more of that.
Yeah, cool. I hope you like it. It's basically the script's already done and the and Victor is working away on the art now, so it should be out in spring summer 2011. Which sounds like, you know, sounds like the far future, but it's actually about a year from now.
Yeah, yeah. And when there's that much artwork to do, you know, I can imagine that, you know, it would take a good amount of time to get that kind of work done.
Well, Volume 2 is over 250 pages, so it's a very massive epic story.
Yeah, and the first one is what I see. I've got it in front of me. It's 230 some, but some of that's title pages and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
So you're adding several pages to the next volume. Good.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit, if you could, about, since you mentioned Victor, the artist, and one of the things I found to be good and solid throughout the whole thing was the artwork and the, you know, the publishing quality and all that kind of stuff. Talk a little bit about that process of getting hooked up with an artist and how this book, you know, you talked about your background and how you got into this all, but how did this book come to be?
Oh, well, Victor, okay. Well, how far back should I go? Should I go back to like the year 2004 or the year 2008 or 2006?
Let's go back to 2004 and I can edit out the extra if I want to.
Sweet. All right. Well, it actually, the idea of King of RPGs came to me in 2004. And at the time, I just did it as a little mini comic, which is actually up on the King of RPGs site now. So I drew it myself. And I have a site where I have my own art, mockman.com. And, I put that online. And then later on, I was, looking to pitch like a longer story and work on a longer story. And I was like, well, I've always liked King of RPGs. So I feel that I can tell more stories about the characters. I mean, in the original version, it's just 20 pages and it's very different. So I wanted to do something with that. And I basically hooked up with a friend of mine, Victor, who was going to art school in San Francisco at the time. And we just started working together. And he comes from like basically a console RPG, JRPG background. He loves Final Fantasy and so on. And his art, I felt his art would bring something to the story that we wouldn't have if I drew it, and it would make it look more manga-ish, more manga-ish, anime-ish, which is what I wanted to go for with this kind of in jokes and this kind of parody that I was doing. So we pitched that around, and then 2008, Random House was like, yes, we will publish this King of RPGs. So that's when we really started working on it in earnest. And in between that time, I was basically revising the story and drawing a lot of thumbnails. This whole book is thumbnailed by me. So I draw it out as little comic pages, and then Victor fleshes them out and makes everything look pretty.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is you and your buddy, and you managed to convince, would you say Random House or?
Yeah, Del Rey House.
Yeah. You managed to convince Del Rey to publish it, and it worked out that you happened to be working for them at the time?
I had done another book for them, Manga the Complete Guide, which is like an encyclopedia of manga, in which I read and reviewed every single manga that was available in English. That came out in 2007. I spent about a year of my life doing nothing but reading manga, except for my Wednesday night D&D game, which was at the time was a third edition African adventures / Egyptian adventures game, which was pretty fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, good. Any last words that you want to share with the Tome Show listeners before we move along?
Well, I hope you check it out, and I hope you like it. I wanted to do something that was, a combination of my two favorite hobbies, and, I hope you think it's cool.
Cool. All right. Okay, so that's the King of RPGs. The first volume was all right, although maybe not my particular cup of tea. Maybe I wasn't the audience for it, but from what I heard from the author, I'm really actually very interested in checking out the second volume and seeing where that goes. And he agreed to send me a review copy, so maybe if I like it, I'll let you guys know. But in any case, I'm going to call this episode finished. I want to thank our sponsor, FRP Games, as well as Will Wong, Victor Cantu from Fistful Comics and Games, and Jason Thompson, the author of the book. Email me at thetomeshow@gmail.com or visit the forums at vorpalnetwork.com. Review the show on iTunes or tell people about it. That helps spread the word and helps the show grow, and that helps keep us thriving. And don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's Amazon store for products discussed on the show and more. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us there. Links for things mentioned in the show can be found in the show notes on the website at thetomeshow.com. And I think I've proven at this point that I am the best gamer ever. With episode 135, King of RPGs of
The Tome. I'm on the wall.